This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Punt Intended Podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball-focused podcast and a Sports Ethos production. I am your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. Today, we're going to continue diving into NBA draft prospects and their profiles and what that means for fantasy. And we're going to start getting into some of the late lottery players here, and I'm excited to get into two of these players because we haven't really talked about some of the older prospects yet, but today we're going to start getting into one. And of course, I'm talking about Dalton Knecht. He's a wing out of this University of Tennessee. He's a senior. He's about 6'6", about 215 pounds, so you know, maybe not the tallest prospect, but he's pretty filled out size-wise. However, we have to start off with his draft age of 23, a little over 23. So he's going to be one of the older prospects in the league, just right off the bat, when he's drafted. And, I mean, that normally means you don't have as much room for growth. You've just been in the game longer. You've played longer. And that's definitely the case of Dalton Knecht. He is what we might call maybe a more, I don't want to say, more polished prospect. I don't want to say he's finished because he's going to show some improvements and some development. But he's definitely further along the development track than some of the other younger prospects that we've discussed. And the history of prospects of that age that are drafted early are not the greatest. I mean, Chris Duarte from a couple years ago, drafted at, I believe, 14 by the Pacers. I mean, he's kind of started well and then tailed off. We've seen that from Davion Mitchell a little bit, another older prospect who failed to live up. And I'm not saying that means that Dalton Knecht won't be valuable and won't have a role, but sometimes we do see a lack of upside with these players. So that is something that kind of clouds over Dalton Knecht's profile a little bit. Let's get a little more in the positives, and we have to talk about his scoring game. The first aspect of his scoring game that really stands out is just his shooting. And it's really impressive, and it should translate pretty well to the NBA level. He has a fairly quick release that doesn't need too much dip, and that's just something you love seeing, especially with the greater speed and urgency at the NBA level. You need to have some of that variation of your shots and that quick release, and Knecht definitely has that. He also displays some great catch-and-shoot mechanics. I love how he gets his body pretty square to the basket quickly, and the consistent motion is very, well, consistent and repeatable, and it looks like the same shot almost every time. And it's similar motions whether he's guarded or it's not, whether it's contested or not. And you just love seeing a player that isn't bothered by contests when shooting from deep and just has his own internal motion and rhythm, and at that quick pace, that's just really positive. So, and in terms of his pull-up game, I mean, he had some pull-up threes here and there. The release on it was pretty impressive when he was given space. Kind of, I thought he was pretty quick to raise that ball into his high shoulder shooting pocket, and I thought he rises up pretty nicely. So I think there's some pull-up potential here just to up the volume up even higher. He had about 9 three-point attempts in college per 75 possessions. That was about 6.5 threes in about 30.5 minutes per game. And he hit 40% of them. And I'm using about 75 possessions just to show what he could get to if he starts. I'm going to try to start using per 75 possessions or rate stats more often here. Just because, you know, you have about maybe 100 little more possessions per game. Okay, if you play 3/4 of the game, that's 75 possessions. So that kind of gives you an idea if he plays at starter levels of minutes, what his stats could be. So again, just to give those three numbers, that was 9 three-point attempts per 75 possessions, hitting 40% of them. So I'm doing some mental math here. That's about, you know, 3.5 threes per game, or not per game, rather, 3.5 threes makes per 75 possessions, which is a really good volume and percentage. I love seeing, you know, I love seeing the shooting volume, and I love seeing the percentage paired with that. In terms of some of his dribbling, he struggles with separation. He doesn't have the greatest dribble craft and burst outside of really the spin move, which he does use decently well to create some space, but it's really not in his game. He doesn't have that great dribble craft to create space. He had plenty of attempts driving at the rim where he kind of would go to the side and float a little bit, but not the best success rate driving, at least based on my eye test. I thought his best drives were some shades of like power inside finishing game where he tried to use his body and size just to create that much extra space to get that shot off. But I thought it was rather hit or miss on tape. However, it was a shade under 60% at the rim though, so that's encouraging in that regard, and he makes enough there. That 60% at the rim is a fine number, especially if you're talking more self-created attempts, which were the ones he was getting. But it could maybe not be as great at the NBA level against just bigger and better athletes. I also thought what really hindered him in terms of his finishing package, though, was a lack of deceleration or change of direction package, just impacting his ability to finish or create easier looks for himself. You see a lot of players develop Euro steps or just decelerate slowly to help get that floater game off or help get to the other side of the basket, and Connect just did not have that in his finishing ability. He had a lot of kind of just layup runners, kind of driving in a straight line, and just kind of lacked finishing touch on them a little bit. Again, the finishing numbers at the rim were pretty good, but I think this could be a little worse at the NBA level, just given also that older age profile and prospect that we talked about earlier. That being said, he did score nearly 22 points per game on 46% from the field, with a usage rate of nearly 33%. So, I mean, clearly he has some talent scoring the ball. I don't want to say he doesn't. I'm just a little concerned that maybe his inside scoring may not be as effective at the college at the NBA level as it was in college. Just one quibble on his movement shooting. I think it's good. It's good. It's going to be good. I don't know if he has the agility or the quickness to be great. But again, with the volume of shots that we saw from deep from him, I think he can be a dynamic enough shooter, but maybe just not elite dynamic movement shooting, which, again, we're talking about elite versus very good. That is a smaller quibble. So I think his movement shooting, to be clear, will be good. I'm just not sure if it will be like an ultimate game plan weapon as opposed to just one that's on the scouting report. I talked about how his finishing package is a little lackluster, and he had some post moves. I want to get into that a little bit here. And I thought, he tended to rely on his height over smaller wings to kind of finish on post moves, kind of more turnaround jumper flashes. That being said, he did rise up well on them, as mentioned earlier in his pull-up game. And this would probably be, I mean, you're talking a couple possessions max per game on wing post-ups, but maybe it's something he can utilize, maybe it's not, but that would be another way to generate some easy looks if he gets caught, not if he gets caught in mismatches, if he catches the right matchup and the team takes advantage of it. Again, talking about some of his finishing here and his ability at the rim, I actually thought he had some good grifting and foul drawing in his bag. And if you've been watching some of the playoffs, you might be frustrated if I'm saying good grifting, because yeah, that seems like a little bit of an oxymoron. But it does matter for fantasy, and it does matter for scoring and points. He had about 8 free throw attempts per 75 possessions, hitting 77% of them at the line. And that was about a 35.7 free throw rate, which is, I mean, all that was really solid. I think he actually displayed a good ability to get to the line, which just helps your baseline level of points. And we like seeing high free throw attempts for fantasy if you are hitting them well enough. 77% isn't too positive, but it's not too negative either. So just a little bit of improvement in that area, and I think he can really help you there a little bit. Now, in terms of some of his self-creation, I mean, he wasn't running pick and roll too often, but I think when he ran it in a pinch, it actually didn't look too bad. Nothing super impressive, nothing super dynamic, but it's enough there that I think he actually could tap into that a little bit more. It's definitely not something where I want him ramping up his usage too much on as a creator. I want him to get shots created for him more often. But if it's getting late in the shot clock and you just try to run a pick and roll, I definitely don't think he's helpless there. I think there's a little bit of something there. I thought he had some solid functional passing. His passing numbers didn't necessarily display that, with about 1.8 per game and a 13.4 assist rate, but on some of the tape I saw, the Tennessee bigs didn't really do him any favors after catching the ball, just either missing shots or passing it back out when they could have taken that up. So I think that can actually ramp up a little bit at the NBA level. I thought he had decent vision, some cross-court passes even. After seeing maybe the first closer pass wasn't there, he threw it across the court. So I did like those flashes. And I think he's a decent connective passer. I didn't see the ball stick with him too often. So I did like that aspect of his college game. But we'll see how well it translates to the NBA level. I also thought he had some ability to play out when he was double teamed. I don't think he's going to get double teamed too often at the NBA level, just because there's going to be more dynamic players than him. And I don't think he's going to be that much of a focal point for NBA teams guarding him. But he didn't look hopeless when pressure got to him. I mean, sometimes it did, and he would lose the ball. But mainly he stayed pretty strong with it and was able to pass it around and not lose control of it. He had about 1.7 turnovers per game and an 8.3% turnover rate, which are pretty solid considering his high usage. Last thing on the offense here, I thought he off-ball, not just with the movement shooting, but he had some decent cuts at finding pockets inside as well. And that did allow him to drive well with a head of steam, which is also when I thought he looked best when driving. So some of the off-ball actions of, defenses are top-blocking him and guard taking away that three-point shot, I think he could take advantage of that and cut towards the basket and just get a good look at the rim that way. So in terms of the offense, I think Dalton Connect can definitely be a good piece of an NBA offense. Maybe not right away, just because rookies do take some time, but I think he can definitely get to that point. But the defense is a little questionable, but not as bad as I thought it would be when initially diving in. I'm not going to call him a good defender, but I think he can be capable enough with some questions here or there. In terms of defense, I thought he doesn't necessarily play up too well size-wise. I thought he could get pushed off his spots, and that affects him offensively when driving, but definitely defensively when I think when he's going to be matched up against either like-sized players or stronger players than him or quicker players than him, that he may just look a little lackluster in that regard. I don't think he'll be hopeless, but it might be someone that you're saying, oh, well, there he goes, letting up another basket, even though he was there and he tried. His screen navigation was fairly iffy in both on point of attack defense and off-ball actions, so is he going to need a little help recovering? Yes, he generally did try, though, and tried to get back in position as best he can. So, again, not someone who you're, picking at constantly when he's on defense, but something to note that he's probably not going to raise your defensive floor too much. I did think he was decent at help defense and just knowing the spots, but was sometimes iffy at getting there in time and reacting to that. And again, that just means that he may not have a baseline level of helping your defense out too much. And again, I'm probably going to repeat myself here a little bit, but he's more just there defensively than impactful and doesn't really create much disruption on that end. Had about 0.7 steals per game, 0.6 blocks per game, which, if we're talking about more of the advanced metrics there, a 1.3% steal rate and a 2.4% block rate, which is not really that impressive. You're not looking at someone who's really going to help your defensive stats that much. His lateral mobility and general athleticism looked a little subpar to me. I definitely don't think he's going to profile positively in that department at the NBA level. So really with his defense, I think he's just kind of there and trying to do his job successfully. I think he'll give good effort in that regard, but it's not going to be someone who can really probably get to an impactful level, and I'd be shocked if he does. So let's get into a little bit of summary of Dalton Connect here. I thought Connect displays an offensive game that should translate easily to the NBA level, just with his off-ball actions and his skill set. I think he can play really well within the flow of the offense, with strengths in off-ball actions and general shooting prowess. I think he can add some basic drives and run pick and roll if needed to help supplement his main projected offensive role. Even if that's not a large part of his game, that's still a little bit of variability in his game and just adding another layer on top of his shooting. My main criticism with Connect is what else are you getting outside of that scoring? He's not necessarily a poor passer, defender, or rebounder, but there doesn't appear much upside in those elements of his game. And when you factor in his age, I don't think it's fair to project too much development in those areas either. So for me, that means Dalton Connect falls into kind of a narrow band of NBA projection, one that isn't without value, but one that really disallows his great outcomes or upsides. So for fantasy, what does that mean? Well, just at the top, talking about that upside, I mean, I think he'll be a player that can play in the NBA for a good while, but is he going to be a fifth starter or a starter that fills the role from time to time? Or is he going to settle more into a, you know, sixth to seventh man scoring role? I mean, I'm thinking of players maybe like Bogdan Bogdanovic, who sometimes starts, sometimes doesn't, something like that. Another name that's kind of popped in my head a little while scouting was Corey Kispert. Even though they're different styles of players a little bit, Connect maybe a bit more of power game when driving, and wasn't as great a shooter, but I think he's actually probably pretty similar shooting numbers in college, and was taken, you know, Corey Kispert was taken to fulfill a role early on, and yeah, I mean, he's become a pretty good shooter and a decent defender on the court, but he's not really providing you much more than that. And that's where I kind of see maybe a parallel with Dalton Connect, a team that drafts him to fulfill a specific role early in his career. But what are you really getting past that point? So when we're talking dynasty and fantasy, I think that's how we should probably look at him. You draft him just to help you maybe fill those stats, but you're probably not looking at too much growth from him past that point. So getting into stat set here, I think you'll be decent in points, but best in threes. That three should almost undoubtedly be his best category. But because of that volume of threes, he's probably unlikely to help you in your field goal percentage department. And if we really just see a team tell him, hey, you're mainly shooting threes and just taking some self-created layups or something like that infrequently because your role is we want you to be on the three-point line, then yeah, that field goal percentage is just not going to be as good. His free throw percentage was pretty middling, as mentioned earlier, but he could have all right volume, so a little bit of increase there could actually make that free throw percentage beneficial. I talked about his rebounding a little bit, and I think he's fine, but I don't think he's going to be that impactful there. He averaged about a 10% rebound rate in his 3 years of college data, which, I mean, it's not too great. 10% is pretty poor, so it's more of they'll be there sometimes, but don't rely on them. Talking about his steals and blocks again, he's going to be below average in them. Again, we'll get some here and there, but definitely not something you're projecting to help you on a night in, night out. I do think his assists can actually get a bit more up to that 3-4 range, as mentioned earlier, but that's probably his ceiling. And that's his ceiling because I just don't know if teams are going to put him in that role, and if he has that upside to pass that more. I think he does have the shades, but I'll probably be more comfortable saying 2-3 is his ceiling, with some games here and there where he gets his assists. And because he probably won't be on ball too often, I'm not expecting too many turnovers here. So from Dalton Connect, basically he's probably a points and threes option, and not much more than that, and it's hard to see where his game grows. Now his landing spot could determine just how big of a role he has initially, so if you're someone who likes to draft rookies with the idea of maybe trading them later down the line, Connect could be your player. He could be that player you draft, and his value gets pumped up a little bit because he shows out well, and then you just move on from him, and you just keep that cycle going. But Dalton Connect is probably not someone I'm super excited to draft in Dynasty or Fantasy unless I really just am looking for a safe option, which normally in your rookie drafts, towards the top of the draft, or even your first 10 picks, you don't normally want to draft a safe option. Maybe later on, though, when you start getting into some of these prospects that are looking really iffy, then Dalton Connect can come into the picture as just a safe, reliable option you know should contribute for a good while in the league.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
The next player we're going to discuss here is Cody Williams, freshman out of Colorado. He's about 6'8", 185 pounds, and roughly 7-foot wingspan. That was a little iffy on the data I could find there. So he's a pretty prototypical size wing. Have a draft age of about 19.5, so he's definitely on the younger end. And, you know, he was a freshman out of Colorado. He's going to be one of these younger prospects that has room to grow. And that's really this theme for Cody Williams is he's a prospect that I think has a lot of tools that we like, but is it going to come together consistently enough at a high enough volume and usage to really see him actualize the potential and promise that some see in him? So I mentioned that he was 6'8 with a roughly 7-foot wingspan. That's really the first thing that stands out. That's great size, length, and wingspan at the NBA level. And once he fills out his body, which I think he can get a little bit more weight on it, then that's just a really good size wing at the NBA level off the top. And I think that's why a lot of people want to buy into the promise of Cody Williams. It's just that prototypical length and wingspan. Let's get into his offensive game a little bit and talk about his shooting first. And I think he has a pretty good release point on his shot, but it looked a little slow and reluctant. That was more on some of the early game film I watched of him. When I got more into his later games, that was better and that was improved. But the volume is what really stands out here and is a little discouraging for his threes. He only took about 2.6 three-point attempts per 75 possessions, but did hit 41.5% on them. So, you know, you see that percentage. If you just saw that percentage, you think he's going to be a dynamite three-point shooter. And I tell you the volume, again, 2.6 three-point attempts per 75 possessions is not that much. And based on some of the injuries he suffered throughout the college year, that's only a sample of 41 total threes. That is not a lot of data to go off of. Now, am I saying that I think he's going to suddenly be a bad shooter? No, not at all. I think he'll be a good shooter, but it's a question of how good his shooting will be and really how impactful. Because, yeah, if you're hitting 42% on your threes, but only a handful per game, that's nowhere near as impactful as taking more of those threes on less percentage, but you'd almost rather that from players. And I think that's partly Cody Williams' fault that he didn't have the quickest trigger from deep. So I think he just needs to improve that and be more confident in his shot and be willing to put more up. Getting into some of his, what I think is another strong aspect of his game, is just he's a smart, instinctual cutter. I think he makes good cuts to the rims from the wing for rim attempts and allowed him to actually build that free throw volume a little bit. He averaged 5 free throw attempts per 75 possessions. However, he did hit him at a 71% clip, which, that's not great. But his touch looks fine on them, and just with his motion, in the 3-point percentage we talked about earlier, I do want to believe in the three throws getting better. But it is maybe a little point of concern. Let's get into some of his on-ball game, because that's where, as we discussed earlier, he does show promise, but it's very mixed, and it's maybe more projection than what I'm comfortable with. He was asked to bring the ball up the court a decent amount at Colorado, with some mixed results, and he was maybe overstretched. But just being tasked with that shows the confidence the coaching staff had in him, and maybe that they felt he was a good option for that. And they did have other options who could bring the ball up the court. He definitely wasn't the only one. But the fact that he was asked to do that so a decent amount is encouraging in its own way. However, I thought his handle was careless at times, honestly. And that goes for when he was dribbling or just even passing the ball. Sometimes he would throw lazy, lackadaisical passes that would just get picked off. And they really didn't have much urgency or zip on them. So, I mean, again, he's young, and I think that can improve, but I don't like the starting point. His handles didn't necessarily look or feel the most secure, and I thought he got rattled when pressure. He averaged about 2 turnovers per game, and he played about 30 minutes per game, and that was a 17.2% turnover rate, which, I mean, that's not really that good. Granted, it's not the highest. We've seen higher, but that's not a great starting point. In terms of his separation, I just thought he didn't generate too much and had to settle for a lot of tough shots, which, again, it's not the worst thing, but you definitely don't want to be settling for tough shots. You'd rather make shots easier for you. Overall, I think he got some good rim attempts, got to the rim a good amount, but again, the separation and just the lack of separation there made the attempts really tough. What is positive, though, is that he made his rim attempts at a pretty good rate. He had nearly, or I guess just talking about his two-point game, he had nearly 10 two-point attempts per 75 possessions and hit 59% of them, which is pretty solid when you're looking at the whole body of two-point attempts. That includes mid-rangers and rim attempts as well, floaters, layups, what have you. But getting into his pull-up mid-range game a little bit, I thought that there just really wasn't that much on tape, actually, and he just didn't have any in-between game. When he was driving, it pretty much was 9 times out of 10, he's going all the way to the rim and trying to either dump it off or go up for an attempt. And that just affects the volume and various shots that Cody Williams can generate. So I think it's definitely an improvement point. It's just adding more pull-up volume in his profile, whether it's from deep or whether it's in the mid-range. In terms of his passing, I thought he had some flashes here and there of dump-offs or cross-court passes, but again, with the handles and just the overall frequency that he did that with, it didn't allow for much glimpses into that. Honestly, I think if the handles do improve, though, the passing numbers could come with those vision flashes, and I do like some of the attempts he tried, even if they weren't successful. He had an assist rate of 10.2%, which was about 2.4 assists per 75 possessions, which, yeah, that doesn't sound that great. But I think that was more of his handles holding him back, and I think there's a little bit more upside there to tap into. Getting just into his on-ball usage, he had a usage rate of nearly 21%, which is fine, but not elite. So even though I mentioned that, yeah, he was tasked with bringing the ball up, it didn't always yield to him ending the possession, whether it would be positively with turnover or... Sorry, it didn't always lead to him ending the possession. Rather, it be positively with a shot or an assist or negatively with a turnover. So maybe he's just tasked, you know, bringing the ball up the court and then starting the action, but not necessarily being the one and the focal point of the offensive action. That was most of my notes on his offensive end, so you can kind of see it's a lot of projection here and flashes, but again, he's young, and I think if he does get on a good development track, and we do see good development from him, I do like what his offensive package could be, but he does need a good amount of improvement there. But let's talk about his defense, because I was pretty impressed by that. Again, I'll mention again, he's 6'8 with a roughly 7-foot wingspan, so he has a lot of good things working for him just in the size department there. But I also thought he had good off-ball instincts to help auger that. And positionally, I thought he just put himself in good spots on the court to do something with that, whether it be just preventing a pass from being made or getting some deflections. I thought his hands were fairly quick and active, and he got a good amount of deflections. Although his steal rate didn't necessarily show that, he had a 1.3% steal rate, which was about 0.6 steals in 28 minutes per game. I think there's some room for that to grow a little bit. In terms of his foot mobility, he didn't have the quickest feet on the perimeter, but he did use his length well to stick with most players and get back in position and recover. And I thought he contained smaller players consequentially very well. And on most of the game from my watch, he was tasked with guarding some of the tough assignments and tough guard assignments at times, which I think is really encouraging for a freshman and for the coaching staff to task him with. And I think shows the confidence that they had in him and just the assignments and responsibilities he was given. When he was guarding more in the low post or from this weak side rim protection, I thought he actually showed good verticality when doing that. And that's not something that's going to show up in the stats too much. He's not definitely not a shot blocker, per se. But I thought he stayed fairly stout when guarding on the post, held his ground pretty well, and that could even be better with improved physical development. He had about 0.7 blocks per game, a 2.4% block rate, which, you know, isn't horrible, but it's not super positive either. Another aspect of his defense, though, that I didn't care as much for was just he could sometimes turn his awareness kind of off and on defense and lose his man. Again, this is more minor. It wasn't often enough where I think it's a glaring issue, and I think with just a little bit more focus and improvement there, I think it's going to be fine at the NBA level, and he can be a positive contributor on the defensive end. I didn't like his rebounding as well. I thought he was a kind of a passive rebounder and bystander almost. And the rebounding rate displays that. His rebounding rate was about 6.4%, which led to about 4.5 boards per 75 possessions, which just isn't that positive. You would hope that with his size that he could maybe get in there a little more, but I'm not sure if that will be the case. Maybe it's just he needs a little bit more development in that area. One other positive for him that I really liked was just his transition game and how well he got out in transition and was willing to push it. And I actually thought that his driving and slashing looked so much better in transition than in half court, which is true for a lot of players, but it was just a whole different vibe entirely, where he was much more confident driving, would drive quicker to the rim and more directly, which I like a lot more. Something I saw in his half court game was when he tried to drive around the defender, he tried to like dribble around the defender rather than trying to attack the basket directly, which just, again, affects the type of shots that he can generate, and didn't possess great change of direction. He usually needed a screen to create great separation, which, I mean, it's not bad. A lot of pick and rolls are very common in the NBA, but the best players can create their own advantage without needing that screen. But in transition, he showed much better burst, much more willingness and aggression to drive, and I just hope he can translate that mindset into his half-court game, because in transition, it just looks awesome, the way he attacks and runs the court. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of his injuries that happened during the season. He had an injured ankle later in the season on February 24th, which affected his last month of play and his March Madness games. He was coming off the bench in some of those games, and March Madness only played really a handful of minutes and couldn't impact the game. So if you were watching March Madness and thought, well, where's Cody Williams? I've heard of this prospect. Where is he? And why does he look bad when he plays? That's the reason why I would probably just ignore those game logs and those tapes if you're doing a little bit of research on Cody Williams yourself. He also missed some games with a wrist injury as well early in the year, so that could potentially have affected maybe just his willingness to drive and attack, and just maybe some of that carelessness with the ball I mentioned earlier. So I do want to caveat that a little bit. With all that being said, let's get into a summary of Cody Williams. Cody Williams has the trademark size, length, and wingspan that NBA teams just love at the wing position. Pair that with some encouraging flashes of cutting, slashing, efficiency, and on-ball handling, and that can just be a really important player on your team. However, a lot of those on-ball skills are more in doses and just still need continued improvement to reach a good enough NBA level for us to want to have the ball in his hands more. Some of those skills should definitely get there, but we'll need some time and patience with Cody Williams. Defensively, I think Williams displayed some good core abilities to be a positive defender, albeit one who may not have as much stated impact on our box scores that we like for fantasy. So this whole package makes Williams a good gamble in the later lottery, in my opinion, but perhaps one that doesn't have a major A-level skill and is more just a very good jack-of-all-trades player, but in a positive manner. So for fantasy, what does that mean? I think the first thing we have to keep in mind with him is that he'll probably take some time to start contributing at a positive level, just given the amount of development and skill improvement I think he needs to get to a good starter level at the NBA level, or frankly, even good rotation level. I think, as mentioned earlier, I think he can contribute in small doses, but it's a question of will he be able to have that every play consistency at an early enough level, and I'm not sure about that. So if you do draft Cody Williams or you're looking at him, just be aware that you may need to wait a little bit of time for him to really start contributing in the fantasy box score. In terms of what his profile could look like when he develops, well, I think points will probably be his best category. I'm just not sure how high his usage can get. So I'm probably forecasting middling points for Cody Williams. The threes are a maybe. I mean, you like the percentages, but he has to get that volume up. And that's just something that maybe he does get, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just shoots well from deep, but doesn't take as much just due to lack of catch and shoot willingness. I don't know, but I think the potential is there. It just, is he going to work on that volume? I think his efficiency is also interesting. We mentioned how good his field goal percentage was earlier, so I think he's going to be a good contributor there. But that free throw percentage was a little shaky in college, and we'll have to see if that can tick up to at least a neutral level at the NBA. I think he'll get some steals and blocks as mentioned earlier, but probably a bit subpar in those categories. For assist, I think he has the range and the vision to actually get up to like a 4-5 mark if his handles hit, but otherwise probably just looking at more connective range of that 2-2.5. For his rebounding, I don't think there's going to be many boards here, and I think most of his boards will just be because he's there rather than he's actually hunting them. In turnovers, I mean, I mentioned some issues with carelessness with the ball, but they'll probably be fine just because I probably will not project a very high usage player here. So again, with Cody Williams, I think there's a lot of flashes, and he could develop into a very impactful player, but I think it's going to take some time and some skill development, so you just have to be patient with him if you have Cody Williams on your roster. That will do it for today's episode of the Pun Intended podcast. As we continue getting deeper into these prospects, I'm probably going to start talking more about their fit on a team and just if they're going to be more starter level or bench rotation or could even maybe not develop and be in the league. With the early prospects and these more early lottery prospects, you know they're going to have time and they're going to be gifted minutes to at least probably they're going to get a chance to develop in the league. But as you get later into the late lottery, mid-first round, those players need to show something early, or they sometimes start losing their standing in the pecking order of teams. So we'll probably start mentioning not even landing spots, but just the band of variance with those players more and more so, because that becomes more impactful. And as I'm a huge fan of, if you're not seeing minutes on the court, you're not going to see production. So being able to actually get on the NBA court becomes even more and more important as we get deeper into the draft. With that, we'll see you next episode.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.